I want to bring you a message this morning, seven proofs of God's existence. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we've entered into your house, we praise you for the good Spirit. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of liberty, for the Spirit of Christ that dwells among us. Thank you for the Spirit of unity that's here. Thank you for this church out here in the country, God. We praise you that there's still a people who loves the Word of God. I thank you that there's still a people who gather in the house of God on Sunday morning with a desire in their heart to hear the Word of God. I pray this morning you'd help us to preach. I pray that you'd get us out of the way and let the Lord Jesus Christ speak to this people. I pray you'd feed us from the Word of God. May we leave this place being increased in our faith. Father, I pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Seven proofs of God's existence. Number one, I'm going to give you these in P's. Because of the perplexity of the universe. I get tired, friend, of the scientific debate on whether there is a God or whether there is not a God. The more we look into science, the more we realize that this world has got so many perplexities and so many complexities from the makeup of your body to the makeup of this universe that it is absolutely impossible for this universe not to have an intelligent design behind it. All you have to do, friend, is open your eyes. Did all this just happen? Is it the result of some big bang? Is this just a lucky turn of events? Is this just some cosmic coincidence? Is this just a random series of happenings? And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You know good and well, if you're here this morning, that we do not believe in evolution. We do not even believe in divine evolution. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Is there a design? Is there someone out there, somewhere with intimate knowledge and put this universe together, a being with such creative intelligence that none of us could even begin to fathom his intellect, his mind, or his wisdom? These questions have plagued mankind for centuries, for thousands of years, and the answer is plain, friend. Open your eyes. Let's let the Word of God open our eyes this morning in Romans chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible says, for the invisible things of Him, Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Did you see that? They're clearly seen. The Bible says that being understood, we see them, but we understand by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can make an excuse for your wicked lifestyle. You can make an excuse for not believing in God. But the Bible says if you will open your eyes, there is no excuse for denying the existence of the Creator. Let's continue to read. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship, the Bible says, and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It's no wonder, friend, that this world is becoming more wicked by the day. It's no wonder, friend, that our country is eat up with immorality, because the more we deny that God exists, the more sin increases. It's as plain as the Bible says, it is plainly seen. If we evolved, why are we devolving? That ain't even a word in a dictionary. But we're devolving. You see, there are two principles, scientific principles. They say that matter can neither, the first law of thermodynamics says that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. I got a problem with that. But the second law of thermodynamics says that any system left to itself degrades and dissolves. You listening? The second law of thermodynamics says that anything that is organized tends to become disorganized. Any system or subsystem left to itself will decay. Everything loses energy. Leave your house for 1 year and come back and look at it and see, did it evolve or did it devolve? Park your car out in the field for a few years and see what happens to it. Look at your body. Your body's not evolving. Your body's headed to the grave. It's dying day by day. Every system in this universe is not evolving. It's decaying. Second law of thermodynamics. Oh yes, there is a God. Why do you say that? Because the Bible says everything is upheld by the word of His power, and by Him all things consist. Why is the sun still shining? Why is the earth still rotating at a specific speed? The second law of thermodynamics. Hey, listen. A big bang, blow something up and see what you create. Blow something up and see what's created. It's not, nothing is created from an explosion. Everything is destroyed from an explosion. Take this watch apart and throw it into the air and see if it comes down and bounces together and becomes a watch again. Blow up a printing press and see if it comes down as Webster's Dictionary. That cannot be, friend. What are you saying? The proofs of God's existence is in the perplexities of the universe. Let me give you these quickly. The gravitational pull is perfect. A stronger pull would crush us. If there was any more gravitational pull on me, I don't think I could stand it. The second thing, the balance of nitrogen, oxygen, argon, carbon dioxide, neon, methane are a mixture exactly to create or to support life. Increase one of those gases and life would not exist. The sun's heat of 10,000 degrees keeps the earth at a perfect temperature. If it were a little bit closer, it would burn earth up. If it were a little bit hotter, it would incinerate us. Friend, don't tell me that's a coincidence. There's a creator. Number four, the molecular structure of the body, the chemical makeup of the dirt, the atmosphere. Listen, Darwin knew nothing of atoms. Darwin knew nothing of DNA. Yet we take his theory as proof that this was a big bang. Oh, friend, man has become foolish in his imaginations. Living matter, number five, cannot be spontaneously generated from non-living matter. The laws of biochemistry, probability, and statistics disprove that you can have living matter from non-living matter. It took a creator. You can choose to believe that junk if you want to, but I'm going to believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise God. Let me give you this quickly. The word bara means to create out of nothing. That's the Hebrew word. By the way, the Hebrew is the most pure form of language in the world. I believe that's what Adam and Eve spoke, was Hebrew. And they used the term bara to bring the being out of nothing. The word asa is the word to create out of something. Adam was created out of dirt, asa. Eve was created out of Adam's rib, asa. But the word bara or bara is to create out of nothing. God spoke this world into existence. The things that are visible and are clearly seen are made by the invisible. You don't think something as complicated as your computer, you sit down to it every day. You think something that complicated just happened? You can forget it, friend. The Bible says in Psalm 92, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from even to everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That leaves me, well, I can close the Bible and go home right now. There is a God, point one. There is a God because of the perplexities of the universe. But you hear me, if there is a God and there is, then which one is He? How do you know that the Bible's true? How do you know that Jesus Christ is real? How do you know to settle on this book and to say that this, the man, the God of this book is the creator of the universe? The man that died in this book is Jesus Christ, is his son. Hey, friend, we're not finished with the message. That's just point one. Number one, because of the perplexities of the universe. Number two, because of the prophecies entailed here. There are over 2,500 prophecies in the Bible, and 2,000 of those prophecies have already been fulfilled to the letter. Do you know the chances of that? There's not enough space in this church to print the zeros of the chance of that happening in a lifetime, much less over the centuries, friend. The odds of the prophecies of the Bible coming true and falling in line as they did is astronomical. What are you saying, preacher? Isaiah foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. Isaiah named Cyrus 150 years before Cyrus was ever born. And if you know your Bible and you know history, Cyrus marched in and took Babylon, and the Bible says he dried up the river. And he walked right into Babylon just as proclaimed by the Word of God. And Daniel had a copy of the Word of God, the book of Isaiah, and showed him his name, that God had predicted him to destroy that city 150 years before his birth. And that's exactly why Cyrus declares that the temple at Jerusalem should be rebuilt. In 700 B.C., Micah predicted the tiny village. Let me go back to Daniel. Daniel predicted that 483 years after that decree, Cyrus made a decree for the Jews to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And 483 years, Daniel said that there, after the decree to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, that there would, the Messiah would come. And you hear me, 483 years from the exact day that Cyrus made a decree to go back to build the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ was born. All the wise men had to do was get a copy of the book of Daniel, and they knew the exact year he'd be born. And God did something else. He put another sign in the sky, and they followed it. Daniel predicted the Messiah would be born. Daniel predicted the Messiah would be cut off, and that would precede the second destruction of the temple at Jerusalem fulfilled by Jesus Christ. In 700 B.C., Micah predicted that the tiny village of Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. 700 years before Bethlehem, Micah said that out of thee, though thou be little among the villages in Judah, out of thee shall come my governor, who shall be ruler of my people, fulfilled by Jesus Christ. In the 5th century, Zechariah declared that the Messiah would be betrayed and sold for 30 pieces of silver, and that those 30 pieces would buy the potter's field, fulfilled by Jesus Christ. David prophesied the Messiah's means of death that would perfectly depict an execution by crucifixion. How could a man living hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ depict how he would be executed? Moses predicted that the Jews would be conquered twice, carried off as slaves, scattered and dispersed in the world, but yet they would come back together and remain a people, a pure race, and would not be mixed up in genealogy. And that happened in your lifetime, dear friend, on May the 14th, 1948, when Israel was born, and the Bible said that nation would be reborn in 1 hour. You hear me, you listen to the radio broadcasts from 1948, you'll hear that Israel was reborn in 1 hour, just as God predicted. You say, how do you know there's a God? From the perplexities of the universe, number one. Number two, from the prophecies that have been fulfilled. Ezekiel said this nation would come back together. Listen, they were in World War II. I don't know why I'm going into this, but in World War II, there was a lot of preachers around that said Hitler was the Antichrist, that everything was in place, and Hitler was the Antichrist. And M.R. DeHaan and Harry Ironside stood up and said, Hitler cannot be the Antichrist. Boy, they were unpopular for saying that. And everybody says, why do you say he's not the Antichrist? They said, because the Jews are not back in their land. There has to be a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Jews being back in their land. World War II was the fulfillment of the Jew coming back into his land, and you hear me, it started the last time ticking in the last days. How do I know there's a God? Because of the prophecies. I believe because of the fulfilled prophecies. Number three, I believe because of the power of the Word of God. Not do I just see the perplexities in the universe that says there's a God. Not do I just see the prophecies that are fulfilled not only in Jesus Christ but in the world that we live, but because of the power of the Word of God. I've observed how an old drunk will come to Jesus Christ and he'll quit his drinking, friend. I've seen men who cuss get their cusser cleaned up. I've seen whiskey money turn into grocery money. The man that won me to the Lord that preached the gospel, listen to me carefully, was an ex-sailor. He was half drunk when he staggered in to a church in Dayton, Virginia, and God got a hold of his heart and saved him by the grace of God. The man had tattoos on his arm, a gold tooth in his mouth, but yet, friend, he preached the gospel, and I heard the gospel under his preaching, came to Jesus Christ, and was born again by the Spirit of God. Don't tell me there's not power in the Word of God. Praise God. Well, just take 5 minutes and shout a little while. I've seen people in hopeless situations give their life to Jesus Christ. There's people in this church this morning that have been in a hopeless situation and turned their life over to Jesus Christ, and they now live a solid, steadfast lifestyle with the Word of God as their rule. Praise God for that. There's power in the Word of God. Listen, I've heard of testimonies of people who were slaves to their own wild passions, and yet they surrendered their life to Jesus Christ and were delivered from those wild passions. I've witnessed the power of God unleashed in a home, and a dad becomes a dad, a mom becomes a mom, and children are raised in a God-centered, Christ-centered, Bible-centered home. There's power in the Word of God. Get in His Word, love His Word, read His Word, study His Word. I know drug addicts. I know a man in Knoxville, Tennessee, who was a member of the mafia. He not only used cocaine on a daily basis, he sold cocaine under the guise of the mafia, covered by the mafia. His brother was a Baptist preacher. That boy came to Jesus Christ and got saved. He told me I didn't have to go to rehab to get off that coke. He said I didn't have to go to man. I didn't have to go through a course. He said Jesus Christ delivered me from the power of cocaine. He said I can remember laying on the bed, going through withdrawals and shaking till the bed shook. But Jesus delivered me through the power of God. Thank God. I met a man several years ago in a cult, read his Bible through 3 times a year to argue with the Baptist. And finally, one time he read his Bible through and God broke in on him and he got saved. And he became a Baptist. Amen. I won't name the cult he was in this morning. I'm trying to be nice. Why do you say, preacher? The blood's never lost its power. The blood of Jesus Christ has never lost its power. Let me give you some things here. We're justified by His blood. We're forgiven by His blood, Romans 3:25. Justified, Romans 5:9. Blessed by His blood, 1 Corinthians 10:16. Made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2:13. We have peace by the blood of His cross, Colossians 1:20. Let's move on. I got to hurry. Number one, for the perplexities in the universe. How do I know there's a God? Perplexities in the universe. Prophecies, it's been fulfilled. The power of His Word. The products of His grace. I am looking this morning in the face of people who are products of the grace of God. Where would you be this morning without the grace of God in your life? Where would you be without the conviction and the power and the steering and the direction of the power of God in your life? Where would you be? I know where you'd be. Don't look pious at me. Say, I'd still be a good little boy. No, you wouldn't. You'd be on a bar stool. I'm looking at people this morning who'd be in the gutter. I'm looking at people this morning, without Jesus Christ, your life would be destroyed. I'm looking at people this morning, you'd have lost everything in the gambling hall last night. And you're looking at one too. In the same boat, praise God. When we gather, we see the products of grace. The products of grace. I shake hands every Sunday morning with people that just increase my faith. Amen. They are products of His. You, don't say they. It's personal. You are products of the grace of God. I sense that in you. I sense that in your smile. I sense that in your friendliness. I sense that in your being and in your character. There's a witness of the Spirit between you and me that God exists. His name is Jesus Christ living in us. Thank God. I still say a word of shout about 15 minutes. People who love the Word of God are products of His grace. People who have a kind and sweet spirit are products of His grace. When I look around this morning, I see light. I don't see darkness. I see hope. I don't see despair. I've seen people walk through those doors dying of cancer with a smile on their face. I've seen people walk through those doors who know their days are numbered. They know by their bodies telling them. And yet they come to hear the Word of God and they have a smile on their face. Why? They're not living in despair. They're living with hope. Yes, God exists and He's gone to prepare a place for us. Thank God. When you have a product, you can't deny there's a producer somewhere. Y'all with me? When I see the product, I know there's a producer somewhere. Well, you'd be a nut to come hear me preach this morning. Bang this Bible and hear me preach if there wasn't something inside of you prompting to get in the house of God. What is that? Product of grace. There's a producer somewhere, and I know who it is. Number five, goodness sakes. Because of personal experience. Personal experience. I know Jesus Christ personally. Do you? Personal experience. I know what it's like to have the burden lifted. I know what it's like to bow at an old-fashioned altar and feel the sin just be washed away in His blood. I know what it's like to confess and forsake my sin and to reach out to Him in faith and He reaches to me in grace. I know what it's like to have something happen to me at an altar of prayer that I could not explain. Something happened to me from on high. Something changed me. Something made me a new creature. Put a new song in my mouth. Put new words in my mouth. Put a desire for the house of God. Put a desire for the Word of God. Put a desire for clean living. Put a desire for prayer. Something happened. What was that? A personal experience. Amen. Not just perplexities in the universe, not just prophecies, not just the power of the Word of God, not just products of His grace, but a personal experience. Let me give you three verses of Scripture. We'll move on to the last. How do you know? Listen how I know. This is the Word of God. But whoso keepeth His Word, 1 John, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Did you hear that? Whoso keepeth His Word in Him is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know. Do you love this book? I believe you do. You wouldn't be listening to this preacher if you didn't love this book. And because you love this book, the Bible says you can know something. That's a witness inside of you that Jesus Christ lives on the inside. For here is the written Word and He is the living Word. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I love you this morning. And I believe you love me. And I believe you love each other. I believe there's evidence in that every time we gather here. The Bible says, hereby we know. There's something I can know. I can know God. I can know I'm saved. I can know I've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Oh, it don't stop there. He that keepeth the commandments, he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him, 1 John, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit, capital S, that He has given us. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God when they get in the choir and they begin to sing How Great Thou Art and the tears begin to stream down their face. Hey, I'm like old Mays Jackson. God squeezing the heart and juice run out my eyes. There's evidence of the Spirit of God. Not only in the perplexities of the universe, I'm winding the message down. Boy, it seems like 5 minutes ago I got in the pulpit. Perplexities of the universe, the prophecies that's been fulfilled, the power of the Word of God, the products of His grace, the personal experience, and the prayers that have been answered. I would to God that we'd all start keeping a prayer journal and start marking down the things that God has done for us. You see, prayer is a complex issue. Some people get their prayers answered immediately. Some have to wait. Some prayers seemingly don't get answered on this side of heaven. They have to wait till we get to the other side of heaven to get those prayers answered. Some prayers are small, some are big. Seems like God will sometimes answer a small prayer concerning something small, and the big thing you're praying about, it seems like He's just not moving. Prayers that are answered. Prayers. Small things. I don't even know where to begin to tell you small things. You ever just, how many small things you bowed your head and you asked God to do something, just something small, and He did it? God hears small prayers. You young people, you hear me. God hears small prayers. And don't you let the devil tell you that we don't have a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. We do. I remember about 10, 12 years ago, I was fencing the east side of the, and it was steep and rocky. And I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, I need help." Lisa got a bad back. And I didn't have a big old boy to help me. And I said, "Lord, I need help." And got up off my knees. I heard a motorcycle. And a friend of mine rode his motorcycle up, took off his helmet, put on his hat, and he said, "I don't know why the Lord sent me here to help you, but I'm here." You say, that's a coincidence. I prayed, and he said the Lord sent him. I say that's an answer to prayer. Amen. Let me tell you something. Just a couple of years ago, I was fencing the other side of the property. And it worked before. I said, "I'm going to try this again." Are you listening? I got down on my knees. I said, "Lord, that's the steepest." I said, I'm busting my guts. I need help. And six men from this church, without my prompting, showed up and fenced 900 feet of fence in one evening. You telling me God don't answer small prayers? You're nuts. You got to be too late. Amen. I'm like old Barney said about Ernest T. You're a nut if you think that. Amen. God answers big, little prayers. Some people get regular answers to prayer. Amen. There are countless times. Let me ask you something. How many times did you pray for a job and God gave you a job? Huh? Did you pray for help to get through school so you could get a job and God gave you that help? Did you pray for a mate? I did. I prayed God. I was running around with every old girl in high school and I prayed God give me a girl. Amen. I used to have her and be a nice looking man. Hey, listen. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? I prayed. I prayed God to send me a woman I could settle down with. Amen. I prayed God to send me a beautiful wife. I prayed God to send me a faithful wife. Hey, listen, guess what? There was a little old black-headed girl on the other end of the line, and she was on her knees praying God to send her a husband. And 31 years later, it's still working. Amen. Don't tell me God don't answer prayers. I know He answers prayers. Praise God. I'm going to shout if y'all ain't. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, it's been a good 31 years, too. I remember that same couple I was just talking about had a little girl. She had a lot of medical problems. Oh, boy, we had her to every doctor. She had every infection coming and going. One night, I'm telling you, one night her fever was roasting. That kid was burning up. I thought she's going to die. We done had her to the doctor. We done give her medicine. We done everything. And she was in a crib. And I reached through the bars of her crib. And I said, "Oh, God, would you touch this little girl? Would you touch her?" And the next morning, you hear me, that fever was broke. It was broke. And I went in. She couldn't talk plain. I reached over into that crib and I picked little Kayla up. I'm telling you the truth. I picked her up and I said, "Sweetheart, you feeling better?" She said, "Yeah, Daddy." She said, "Jesus, right there." I said, "What?" She said, "Jesus, right there." I said, "Are you telling me, Kayla?" I was skeptical. "Are you listening to me?" I said, "Are you telling me that Jesus was standing right here?" She said, "Yes, Daddy. Last night, Jesus, right there." I was still skeptical. I mean, here was a praying man, and I was skeptical. I said, "What did he look like?" She said, "He was white, Daddy." I tell you, I started believing. I said, tell me something. What else did Jesus look like? Only thing she could say was she saw his teeth, Daddy. I said, was he smiling? She said, yeah, that's why I saw his teeth. Don't tell me a two-year-old can't communicate when God comes by. Don't tell me that God can't answer prayer. Don't tell me that when I get on my knees, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You got to me too late, friend. Thank God. Perplexities, prophecies, the power of the word, the products of his grace, the prayers that are answered. Oh boy, have you ever prayed about a financial situation? You ever prayed for strength? Have you ever prayed for help? And God gave you what you needed when you needed it. Don't tell me. You know what our problem is? Our problem's not that God doesn't exist. Our problem's we don't mark it on the calendar and kick the devil in the face with it. Amen. Well, praise God. Jonah prayed and made a whale sick. Hezekiah prayed and changed God's mind. Elijah prayed and heaven shut up. Peter was freed from prison because the folks down at the church was having a prayer meeting. I believe when God's people pray, God does something and shows his existence. Yes, he does. He's here this morning. Amen. He's here in a manifold way this morning. I don't know what he's doing, but let him do it.